Good evening. I'm so glad to be here tonight. I do have a testimony. I'll leave it for the message, so that way there'll be some content in the message, and that'll be a blessing to you. And I'd like you to go in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And the Lord's been, when Pastor asked me this morning, I have to admit to you, I was kind of, well, what am I going to preach about? And then after his message, God really spoke to my heart. I hope he challenged your heart this morning. It was a wonderful message on prayer and a needful message. And I thought, not to add anything to it, but I thought I'd give you tonight something on prayer that the Lord has been sharing with me. And so I figure that tonight we'll speak on prayer. We all should be witnesses that prayer works. Amen. We all ought to be convinced that prayer works. So God gave us instructions and not to always pray and not to faint. And so, therefore, I ask that you stand with me and open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to read in verse 9. we'll go to verse 7 and we'll read on from there. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thine kingdom come, thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful vehicle of prayer. Where would we be, Lord, without prayer, without being able to communicate, talk to you, Lord, and Father, present our needs before you? We pray, Lord Jesus, that you somehow speak to our hearts tonight, using my feeble lips that sometimes stumble, that sometimes have a tough time forming words. Lord, make it clear to our hearts that, Father, we ought to be a people, a nation of prayer. And much more now, Lord, as our nation is headed to these troubled times, Lord, we should go to the recourse of prayer. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you so speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I was challenged this morning during the message of my own prayer life. And, you know, that how important it is that we keep a consistent, and I mean consistent, prayer life. Not just a dinner table prayer. And that's important. Amen. You ought to be thankful for what God gives you. But we ought to have a consistent private prayer life. Have a prayer time with your family. I think that's essential. I try every night, to have prayer time. We stop what we're doing and we pray. It's important that I want my children to know that there's a God that answers prayer. And if you want to bring your children in fear of the admonition of the Lord, listen, show them how to pray. You can show them a lot in life. You can show them how to work. That's important. I think kids are, we ought to learn how to work. Amen? You can show them how to behave. That's important. But man, I tell you, show them how to pray. Because when you show them how to pray, it'll take care of everything else. It'll take care of their strength. It'll turn their weaknesses into strength if you show your children how to pray. So Jesus here has given us instructions of how to pray. I have a couple of quotes I'd like to share with you in prayer. And I thought, man, if I'm preaching on prayer, but I have some quotes on prayer. So I found some good ones. You want to hear them? Prayer is where the action is. I like that. John Wesley said that. Even before, now you hear everybody saying, this is where the action is. Well, John Wesley, long before, had a quote on that. Amen? Prayer is where the action is. Amen? I like this one. Satan does not care how many people read about prayer if he can only keep them from praying. You know, there's a lot of books written on prayer. We talk a lot about prayer, but what we need is prayer. You can have a lot of knowledge of something. Knowledge is good. But listen, put your knowledge into practice. That's a lot better. God uses people that pray. Someone said, don't pray when you feel like it. Have an appointment with the Lord and keep it. A man is powerful on his knees. And the person that said that, by the way, was in a Jewish camp. And when the concentration camps were there, she talked about the importance of prayer. You know, in every situation, God wants us to keep that prayer life abundant in our lives. Not as he said here, he told us, but when you pray, don't get into the repetition just to make it look to others like you're praying, amen? You know, there's people that want to exude some kind of holiness that they don't have, really, or want to act a certain way so others would think more highly of them. I don't care what people think of me. I care what God thinks of me. I don't care what others think about me. What I'm concerned about, am I someone that God, listen, that God can use? My prayer life, something that God can use. Someone said, prayer is a practice of the presence of God. It is the place where pride is abandoned, hope is lifted, supplication is made. Prayer is the place of admitting our need, of adopting humility, and claiming dependence upon God. Prayer is a needful practice of the Christian. Prayer is the exercise of faith and hope. Prayer is the privilege of touching the heart of the Father to God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, isn't it great that the place that God asked me to approach him is the place of prayer? I still believe prayer changes everything. I still think that prayer, listen, and I have to understand that God answers all prayer. Amen? God will tell you yes. I like when God says yes. And God can tell you no, and you may not like it, but man, learn to like it. God knows best. You see, in prayer, I'm not submitting myself to my will. I'm letting God do what he wants to do in my life. Not submitting to what I'm not twisting the arm of God when I pray. I'm looking to communicate with God so that I can find myself submissive to his will. That's what I want out of my prayer life. I want to do what God wants for me. And so Jesus is saying here, and he's laying a ground rule that not to use prayer in a religious sort of way, but not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard of their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them. That's not the way that we ought to approach prayer. You know, one of the most wonderful things I possess in this life is my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. When I got saved, I came into the family of God. That's exciting, amen? You're in the family of God. I'm part of the family. You know, Norm's my brother. And that's great, amen? Blaine's my brother. We may be from different backgrounds, listen, but we're united by the same blood. Hallelujah, we're in the family. It's great to know I'm in the family. It's great to know that I'm part of the greatest family in the world, the family of God. It happened the day I got saved. Happened the day I repented and gave Jesus Christ my heart, and I realized that I couldn't save myself, but I needed a Savior, and I asked Christ to come into my heart, man, and I came into the family. And then Jesus brings me to that truth here in verse 8, be ye not therefore like unto them. Why? Because you have a relationship for your Father. I'm part of the family, amen? And I have a heavenly Father. Your Father. Man, this is what we're talking to when we pray. We're not addressing someone who doesn't know our need. We're not addressing someone who doesn't know anything about your Father. Your heavenly Father. God is my heavenly Father. And listen, as a father, I know what I am like as a father. As a father, listen, I want nothing but the best for my children. I miss my children when they're not around. I wonder if there's something wrong in the relationship when we don't communicate, amen? They can tell you that all the time. I'm going, are you all right? Ask Daniel. Ask Andrew. I drive them crazy because I want to make sure that we're okay as far as the fellowship goes, amen? The relationship doesn't change. They're my children. I love them. They're mine. God gave them to me, okay? And so we have the relationship is they're my children, I am their father. Now, sometimes the fellowship hurts, and I have to go and wonder, are you all right? I haven't heard much of you. You know, when you don't hear your children talk or ask for anything, you know there's something wrong, right? when they're not communicating with you, you know there's something wrong. You wonder. So as a father, I'm going over to them, and I'm going, are you all right? I tell you what, when Andrew left for those, I got to tell you, for those 13 weeks, it killed me not to hear from him. Wrote him a letter as often as I could, almost every other week, he had a letter from me. Now, I couldn't hear from him, man, but I tell you, I wanted to hear from him. So much so that when he called on this a couple of Sundays ago, and I heard his voice for the first time in 13 weeks, I tell you what, okay, I don't care what you think of me, I cried. Why? Because, listen, I love my children. I'm in the relationship. They're part of my family. They're part of me. And listen, if you're in the family of God, you're part of God. And so therefore, Jesus brings us to the experience here. But listen, your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask. Isn't that great? God knows exactly what I need. He knows exactly where I'm at. He knows exactly in the situation that I am. And he says, even before I ask, he knows what I need. I'm glad. So why does he want me to pray? Because God needs to hear that, you know, like a father wonders if his children don't talk to him, if things are all right, God's wondering if everything's all right between you and him. I mean, he knows where you're at. Not that he wonders. I mean, but how we need to communicate with God. Never take prayer lightly. Never take your prayer life lightly. Listen, you need to pray as much as you need to breathe. Some of us, listen, in this human life, we like to eat. I love it. I love good food. Amen? I love things that are disciplined. We've been exercising. That's been an adjustment. It's good for me, but it's an adjustment. And listen, in your prayer life, let me tell you something. Your flesh will wrestle against it. It'll take some adjustment, but it's the best thing you've ever done. Or the best thing you will ever do, because this is how God wants to communicate with you. So he says, therefore, after this manner, listen, we ought to pray. And there's certain elements that we need in prayer. The first one is this. He said, he brings us to this. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. Man, that's great. The first thing that he brings us is to our relationship. Prayer, the element, the first element of prayer is the right relationship. Our Father. I am submit to the will of the Father, not the Father submit to my will. Do you know every father, there's a loving father, wants nothing but the best for his children. So therefore, God, when he addresses, he brings us to that place of relationship. Our Father. Our Father. Man, he is my heavenly Father. I can go to him with every need. I can go with him to him with every supplication. I can go to him because he knows me. Every father knows his children. Amen? I hope you know your kids. Amen? If you don't, then listen, you ought to look, and as a heavenly father, listen, he goes, therefore pray, our Father. If you can't address him as Father, maybe you have not entered into the relationship. You know, maybe you need to get saved. You know that sometimes people believe they're saved just like because they visit a church. Or people believe they're saved just because their parents were saved and they were religious and therefore, you know, they grew up this way. And because they grew up this way, of course they're saved. Their parents were saved. Listen, the only way you can get saved is one way to be saved. Amen? And that's everybody needs to realize they're sinners. Everybody needs to realize what Jesus did for them at the cross of Calvary. And you for yourself have to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Why? Because he's a personal Savior. Personally, everyone has to make the decision of enter into that relationship of the family, our Father. Where is he? Which art in heaven, man? I tell you, hallowed be thy name. What's the second? Not only is the relationship element the first thing to have in prayer, but then the second thing that Jesus brings to him, to us, is to proper praise. Hallowed be thy name. Do you hallow the name of God? You know that some Jews won't even mention the name Jehovah. Instead, they will use the vowels of the name just because their name of God is so precious that they they won't even use the full name. And they'll sometimes leave the vowels out and because their name is so precious. Hallow it. Praise the name of God. Amen? In the Bible, we're giving descriptions of God through the use of his name. When Abraham was to offer Isaac, and there they were, and he said, "Father, here's the wood, here's the fire." He said, "But where is the lamb for sacrifice?" When they were on top of Mount Moriah, what did he say? "Jehovah Jireh, son, the Lord will provide." You know, when you praise God properly, you'll praise him for his provision. The name Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. You know, I have you praised the Lord in your prayer life for his provision? Amen. Have you praised the Lord? You realize that everything good, everything you have comes from God? You wouldn't have it to begin with unless God gave it to you. God gives you. I'm telling you what, he is my provider. I love how Abraham used that phrase, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. You know what the Lord did? He provided himself a sacrifice. Amen. He provided himself a sacrifice so that Abraham could offer the proper sacrifice. But through that, it gave us a picture of the sacrifice that he would provide for us so that we through him could be saved. Have you praised him in your prayer life for being your provider? Listen, praise him for your relationship. Praise him that he's your provider. What else does the Bible call? Hallowed be his name. Why? Because he's Jehovah Shalom, isn't he? The God of our peace. Man, I'm glad that the Bible says, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world give, give I unto you." I'm glad that Jesus is, listen, that he gives us peace. Amen? I have peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that he's my Jehovah Shalom. Amen. My peace. And then the name that the Old Testament, the name that hallowed be thy name. It's also, I think of the name every time, you know, we get into prayer. We ought to thank him not only that he's our provider, not only that he's our peace, but that he's our Jehovah Nisi, the Lord, our banner. I'm thankful for God's protection tonight. Amen. I'm thankful for his provision. I'm thankful for his provision, for him being my shepherd, my peace. But I'm also thankful that he takes care of me. All right? That's why he is my Jehovah Rophi. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen? Praise the Lord that he's my shepherd. Have you praised him that he's your shepherd? Listen, I have a shepherd that leads me through all the great trials of life. I have a shepherd that is with me through my afflictions. I have a shepherd that is with me through my good times. I have a shepherd that is with me through my bad times, leading me the way. Amen? I'm glad that he's my shepherd. Have you praised him in your prayer? Have you hallowed his name for being the great shepherd, the great banner of protection? I think about how many times, listen, God's hand of protection has been upon my life. There's times that I remember one time that God just protected us so much, even through our this last time. I'm thinking about when we got into, when the axle of our car just split and we were on the highway on 90 and that car began to swerve back and forth in the road. And all we could do, all I said, "Lord, is just keep us, Lord." And all of a sudden, listen, that car just landed in a safe spot. Why? Because he's my protector. He's my banner. Amen. In fact, the Bible says, when the enemy shall come in like the flood, the Lord will raise a banner against him. Amen? Praise the Lord that he's my protection. Praise the Lord that he's my Jehovah Shalom, that he's my peace, that he's my, that I can hallow his name. And God's name ought to be praised. Why? Because the Bible says that God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every tongue should confess and every knee should bow to the glory of God the Father. I'm glad that someday, listen, every knee is going to bow and confess that Jesus is Lord. I'm glad that someday even the greatest atheist that lived in this country, Marilyn Mary O'Hare, is going to have to bow down and say, Jesus is Lord. Amen. Every rock artist that brought their filth and everything that they sing about, someday they're going to bow their knees and confess that Jesus is Lord. Every political leader that ever stood against Christ and against the message of the gospel is someday going to bow down and have to confess that Jesus is Lord. And someday even the devil himself. Amen. Is going to bow down and hallow the name of Jesus because he has a name that is above every name. I'm glad he's my Adonai, my Lord Almighty. I'm glad that he's El Shaddai, the Lord. Listen, the nurturing God that is able to do exceedingly and above anything that I can ever ask or think. I'm glad he's my Sekednu, the Lord who is my righteousness. I'm glad that he's Jehovah Makadesh, the Lord who is my sanctifier. Do you praise his name tonight? hallowed be his name. And then he brings us through the next point of our prayer life. They ought to be, not only ought we be thankful for the relation on our prayer, and also for the praise that we ought to give him. Listen, you can spend just enough time on praise. It's just, you can just get into prayer. Listen, when you get in your prayer life to praising God, I'll tell you, it's difficult to just pray for 15 minutes. When you get to praise God really for everything you have to thank him for, it's just difficult to keep time on prayer. You'll find yourself praying for a long time, amen? And then he brings us through the other stage of our prayer life. He says, not only do we ought to be in a relationship, hallowed be thy name, thine kingdom come, thine will be done. Listen, the other thing that we have in our prayer life that we see, not only do we praise him to open in prayer, but then our purpose. Thy will be done. Man, if there's something that I do in my prayer life, is not submit my life, not submit God to my will, but submit my life to the will of God. You know, when you pray, you're surrendering. You're realizing how frail you are and how powerful your God is. So he says that we ought to pray, thy kingdom come. Man, I tell you what, I can't wait till the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't wait till the day that the trumpets will sound and the dead in Christ shall rise. And the Bible says, then we which are alive in Jesus shall be changed in a moment. Listen, I'm not waiting for political change. I'm waiting for God's change. Amen? We shall be changed. I'm glad that I'm going to be changed. I got a new body that God's going to give me, amen? I want a thin one this time, amen? I want something tall. And I got something good coming from God. A healthy body, amen? A body that is not subject to death. But a body that is filled of life. Like fashion, like unto his glorious body. Hallelujah. Thine kingdom come. I can't wait till the Lord returns. It ought to be our prayer. Listen, if you're not praying it, the Holy Spirit is praying inside of you saying, Jesus, come quickly. In fact, the Bible says that even nature itself, in Romans chapter 8, nature itself crieth after redemption, waiting for that day when the rights will be made wrong, when the clouds will open and the King of glory, the Bible says, shall come in. I have a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Amen. And he's coming again. I love the song, Coming. I sing it all the time. My kid said, Dad, you mess up on the words. I don't care. But he's coming again. Maybe winter. Hey, listen, it may be noon. It may be sometime. It may be soon. But he's coming again. Don't ever forget that we ought to pray. Thine kingdom come. Man. And then what does he say? I want to fulfill till his kingdom come. Thy will be done. I want to fulfill his purpose. Not only do I want to give him praise, but in my prayer life, I got to remember there is a purpose while I'm here. Hey, God has a purpose for you. You say, I can't do much. That's all right. God has a purpose for you. You see, he's given you gifts. He's given you abilities, and God has a purpose for you. I like that. Listen, God has a purpose for me. He's got a purpose for you. There's something that God wants you to do. We ought to be praying. I'm not talking about purpose-driven people. I'm talking about God-driven people. Because if you're God-driven, you'll have a purpose you want to fulfill for God. God wants to use you. So in our prayer life, we need to remember, thy will be done. Your will, God. Not my will. But your will. Even Jesus prayed. Remember when Jesus was praying, and the Bible says that blood, sweat dropped, the drops of blood, that condition that we know is a medical condition, actually, that I can't, the name escapes me, but I think it's called hematidrosis, where actually blood vessels break and sweat is mingled with blood, and the intenseness of that prayer at that moment, he said, Lord, let this cup pass from me, if it be thy will. But what did he say? Don't let it be my will. Let it be your will. And I tell you what, there's times of intense prayer that are coming in your own life where your body will, your own spirit will, and you will physically wrestle against the will of God. There's times we need prayer, amen? What? Not to submit to our own will, but that we submit to the will of God. Your will. And listen, what is God's will involved? It involves people. You say, I can't, well, you know, I can't talk to people. Listen, you can pray and God will help you talk to people. Amen. You know, sometimes it don't take much to talk to people. All you got to say is, I'm praying for you. Amen. And listen, and that's a witness in itself. When you go and you say, I'm praying for you. They may not like what you're saying, but what you're saying is, I'm getting a hold of God for you. I'm subjecting myself to the will of God, and I'm going to do what God wants me to do because God has a purpose in your life. Young people, let me tell you something today. Old people, let me tell you something today. Intermediate people, let me tell you something today. God has a purpose for you. If you're in this earth, God's not done with you. Amen. I'm glad about that. He's got a purpose. And so therefore, God says, submit yourself to the purpose of God. Thy will be done. Where? In earth as it is in heaven. Man, I like what Jesus said, that wherever we loose on earth shall be what? Loosed in heaven. Whatever we bind on heaven, on earth shall be what? Bound in heaven. Prayer changes things, folks. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes the situation. Prayer changes anything in your life. So listen, learn to be a purposeful Christian by not only understanding the relationship where you're at, not only giving them praise, but also getting involved in the area of purpose. Lord, I know you have a purpose in my life. I may not know what it is. I may not see it, but help me to submit myself to your will. One of the greatest things that you will ever pray about is submitting yourself to the will of God. Because everything in you will wrestle against it. But listen, when you learn to pray, and when you learn to seek the will of God, you can learn to submit yourself to the purpose of God. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Sometimes in our prayer life, we need to find our purpose. We need to put ourselves upon the cross and learn to crucify this flesh. This flesh rebels against God. That's why I need prayer. And if you're looking at me sanctified, I don't need it because I really don't wrestle against God. You don't know how wrong you are. You need prayer. And every day to find yourself submitting to the will of God. So therefore, we need to submit to his purpose. And notice, he gets to number three. And this is where it amazes me. Sometimes we get it all mixed up. But he goes, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. And then the next things he asks for is provision. God, give me what I'm going to need today. You know, sometimes we get ahead of God. We have faith only as long as God provides us with enough to see till tomorrow. You know what I'm talking about? If God provides for you for the next couple of weeks, you felt the Lord has provided for. Sometimes I can't see God's provision right away. But listen, I'm glad he gives me what I need on a daily basis. He may not always give me what I want. Listen to me. But he always gives me what I need. He provides what I need for today. He provides what I need for right now. He looks at my provision on the area of now. He says, listen, give us this day our daily bread. And then he says what? He prays not only for his provision, but then he remembers his pardon. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You know that sometimes when we pray, the first thing we say is, Lord, forgive us. And here Jesus doesn't include it till the what? Till the fourth point. There is a praise. There is a relationship he brings us to. Then he brings us to our praise. Then he brings us to our purpose. Then he brings us to our provision. And at the fifth point, I'm sorry, he brings us to what? To our pardon. Why does he wait till that long? You know, because in our prayer life, sometimes we really can't see ourselves till we really get deep in prayer. Sometimes we're not really ready to ask for forgiveness till the light comes on. Amen? And you know, sometimes God, there's times that I need to pour in prayer before I can ever get to that point because God hasn't revealed to me exactly what I'm doing wrong, or I haven't allowed for God to reveal me exactly what's in my heart. And sometimes, listen, I'm not ready till I get to this point. And so God brings me through this process. And then the light comes on at that fifth point. And I said, man, Lord, listen, I'm sorry that I haven't been who I'm able to be. And he says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Notice he didn't deal with sin till the fifth point. And sometimes we prayerly wrong, go before the Lord and say, oh, Lord, forgive us, and where we turn. You know why we do that? So we think God can just kind of sweep that under the rug and we're ready for it. You know, sometimes God wants to deal with us exactly on that point. Getting ourselves closer and closer to him. Listen, and he says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. One of the things that a Christian ought to be identified is by being a forgiven person. Don't hang on to things, amen? You know, the worst sin we can ever commit is the sin of unforgiveness and bitterness. Allowed to settle in, it's like a poison. Someone said that bitterness is a poison that you sometimes deal for somebody else, and it ends up hurting you. Because you're hanging on to things that you shouldn't hang on to. Learn, listen, what is the measure of our forgiveness? The Bible says we ought to forgive as Jesus forgave. Man, isn't that something? The Bible says he's taken our sins and cast them away as far as east is from the west. And here's a part that's really amazing. And he remembers them no more. The Bible is telling us that here in our prayer life, we ought to learn how to forgive. And I mean truly forgive. Help, but forgive us our debts. And listen, the word there, debt, is really also translated. Some places also bears the interpretation of sin. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And then he what? Lead us not into temptation. Lord, not only am I looking for your protection, for your provision, but also, Lord, I'm looking that you protect me. Protect me, Lord. Lead me not into temptation. You know, God doesn't tempt any man. He's asking here that God will free me from the presence of temptation. Sometimes I look to fall into temptation, by the way. But if I'm asking God to lead me away, he'll lead, not only keep me away from, but he'll lead me away from the presence of temptation. God, listen, he asks here that he protect me. And then he says, what does he do? He says, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. I like this. He begins with praise and he ends with praise. You know, sometimes in our prayer life, we get into every other point, but we forget that we ought to praise God for who he is. His divine protection. His divine hand that takes care of us. Listen, our prayer life, I hope you're praying, as Pastor mentioned, 15 minutes, but listen, I hope you get past that stage, amen? Once you get past that stage, you'll find out how sweet prayer really can be. Listen, learn to have a time set aside with God that you come before God and, man, just wish to communicate with him. I wanted to share my own testimony tonight. Even I remember when I was a child, I would wake up and I would stay over at my grandmother's house. And even as a young man, when I was working, I lived with my grandmother for a while. My grandmother was a lady of prayer. And even when she couldn't get out and witness anymore, she began to pray that God will send people to her. And so therefore, she would, every time we lived in a neighborhood in a tenement housing in Holyoke, Massachusetts, she'd leave her door open, and purposely she would cook so that the smell would go out in the hallway. And so that when people came by, they would have to stop and they would ask her, she goes, well, come on, sit down and eat. You know, and they would sit down and eat, and as they began to eat, she began to give them the gospel, amen? But I remember her, listen, waking up early in the morning and just getting before God and getting a hold of God. And I remember she would spend 1-2 hours in the presence of God. And boy, I tell you one thing, you walk by there and you just want to tiptoe because you knew there was such a communion with God, it'd make the hair in your skin just crawl. Because you knew somebody was getting a hold of God. Now listen, it taught me one thing, that I need to get a hold of God. Sometimes we miss the blessings of God. We have not because we ask not. I like what James said about Elijah. He said, in the book of James, he said what? Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. You know what that means? That everything that affected Elias affects you. You're subject to life passions. You're subject to hurts. You're subject to pains. You're subject to times of afflictions. You're subject to times of hunger. You're subject to times of want. You're subject to everything. You're subject to life passions. You're subject to your relationships. You're subject to everything in life that affects you. You're subject to the conditions around you, whether they be political or whatever they be. You're subject to the conditions around you, whether spiritual or wicked. You're subject to the conditions around you. But you know what the changing phrase in that was? But he prayed earnestly, fervently. Listen, there's one thing that's going to change the course of life, I believe, is fervent prayer. And his prayer was able to change the fact that it did not rain on the space of the earth for 3 years. Can you imagine that? All because somebody prayed. Bible introduces us to men of prayer. Even Daniel sought that his communion with God was worth life itself. Listen, he was willing to die rather than to lose communion with God. When a decree came out that he shouldn't pray, he was still in prayer. Amen? David said his prayer. When you read in the Psalms of David, and he suffered insomnia, he found comfort in what? In speaking to God while he couldn't sleep. Amen? He learned the beauty of prayer. Prayer is where the action is. Listen, you ought to desire a rendezvous with the Lord every day. You ought to desire to meet with God every day in prayer. If there's one piece of advice I can give you today, listen, when you get to your 15 minutes of prayer, why don't you make it a goal that by the end of the week, you'll get to another 15 minutes, amen? And I guarantee you, if you keep that purpose, your praise in your prayer, purpose in your prayer, provision in your prayer, if you remember those things, listen, sometimes, take each one of those points. You know, maybe it's praise you want to give. Why don't you pray and praise God for 10 minutes? And then while you're at it, remember his provision. Why don't you thank him for his provision for 10 minutes? Now you're into 20 minutes, amen? And then while you're at it, why don't you pray about the purpose that God has in your life for another 10 minutes, amen? And now you're into 30. And when you get into that point of prayer, listen, God can do things. You know all the things that God's done in our country that he's changed because of prayer. I like the story of in New York City where that group prayed, and that prayer meeting became one of the most famous. There in Grand Central Station became one of the most famous prayer meetings in the world because someone took the time to get a hold of God, because someone took the time to pray. Listen, Jesus said, pray after this manner. He's given us a pattern. He's not asking us to keep repeating these words, but he's given us a pattern. What is the pattern? Praise. Is there enough praise in your life? Listen, all you have to do is think about, and there's a lot you can praise God about. Amen? And then praise. Thank him for your relationship. Thank him for who he is, and praise him for it. And then have purpose while you pray. What is your purpose in my life? Learn to forgive others. Learn that he protects you, and learn that he'll provide for you. And then praise him again when you close, because listen, he is a God that can do exceedingly and above anything that you can ever ask or think. God can do it. Just this week, we saw an answer to prayer, even in our own family. We have a nephew who is, his wife is pregnant, and she had a bacteria, and they could not find any cure for this bacteria. They were looking, and he got on his Facebook, and the first thing he said, would you pray for my wife, Sarah? That the doctors will be able to find a cure. They can't find a cure for this bacteria. She's pregnant. They're going to put her in the hospital. They're not going to send her home until they can find something that they can treat this bacteria with. And all of a sudden, comment after comment came praying for you, praying for you. And I tell you what, within 2 days, they were able to find something that they could treat the bacteria. And she's on her way home tonight. Why? Because people prayed. Prayer can change things. Listen, you want to pray, you want to change your condition, you want to pray, change your direction, learn how to pray. Learn how to get a hold of God. I think about in our history, even our own nation, George Mueller and all these men of God that came before us. Listen, what did they have? A consistent prayer life. How was Jonathan Edwards? How was the great evangelist? What was his name that was in this country that was very good friends? I'm trying to think of him, but he did so much. He was known as the Elijah, and I'm trying to think of his name right now. But you know what? He had a consistent prayer life. And whenever asked, that Jesus never taught anybody how to preach, but he taught them how to pray. You can desire any kind of ministry. Learn how to pray. Amen? Men are to always pray. Learn to have that consistent prayer life, and God will open doors to you that you will see in your life that you never thought were possible. Let's bow our heads. Oh, Heavenly Father, we all so many times fall short in this area of prayer. You taught us how to pray, Lord. You taught us that we need to have praise in our prayer. Oh, Lord, we need to seek the purpose in your prayer. Lord, that we ought to have pardon in our prayer, that we ought to be thankful for your protection and your provision, Lord, by giving you praise. Lord, help us to every day have a consistent prayer time with you. Help us to meet with you. Prayer is asking and receiving. Prayer is seeking the will of God. Prayer is communicating with you, Lord. We have not because we ask not. Help us, Lord Jesus, to get convicted every day more and more about being in prayer in a time of power with you. In Jesus' name, if God's spoken to your heart tonight,